We're in the outline, morning session one, message one. If anyone's going to take it out of their binder, why don't we all do that together, if you're going to do that. I'm not telling you to do that, but if you're going to do that, let's do our clicking in oneness. And while we're doing that, let's read the first set of verses. 1 John chapter 1, verses 1, 2, and 3. 1 John, the epistle, 1 John chapter 1, verses 1, 2, and 3. Okay, as we have it, let's read together. Amen. Go.
That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we beheld and our hands handled, concerning the word of life. And the life was manifested, and we have seen and testified and report to you the eternal life, which was with the Father.
Amen. Okay, that was not bad, but we should read again. This is God's Word.
Amen.
And whenever we touch God's Word, if we use our whole being, and I'm not saying necessarily read it loudly, but if we use our whole heart and our whole being, which includes our spirit, then even in just the reading, we will touch the Spirit in the Word. Okay? Let's read it again. Go.
That which was from the beginning.
Amen.
Which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we beheld and our hands handled, concerning the Word of life. And the life was manifested, and we have seen and testified and report to you the eternal life.
Let's add verse 4. And these things we write that our joy may be made full. Amen. Each day we have these four lines of fellowship with you. We start early in the morning with this line on the morning revival. This has to do with our personal contact with the Lord. Every believer must have a personal daily contact with the Lord. This line, which is called session one, but is really the second line, is going to deal with this matter, and you can see in the title for this outline in the all capital letters there, the cycle of our spiritual life. And this line is talking about not just the morning time with the Lord, although you experience this cycle in that morning time. This is really talking about our daily experience of life. Or our experience of life in our daily life. The line that will follow after this time, we have a break and we have another morning session, that really has to do with our spiritual exercise in flowing the Lord out to people. So I hope you can catch the kind of progression. We are all vessels. We're vessels. Like a channel. Like a pipe. We have a place where we can receive. There can be an inflow. There needs to be no blockage inside. So it, whatever it is, can flow through. And then we also have a part to flow out. In this training, what we're trying to do is to help you with all three. Amen. Every morning there should be an inflow. There should be a fresh opening so that the Lord can flow in. And also in that time and through our daily life, there should be the discharging of any obstacles, of any impediments, so that the Lord can flow through. And in our daily living, wherever we are, whether it's at school, whether it's at work, whether it's at home, whether it's just driving in our daily life, going to the store for doing our daily chores, whatever it is we're doing, there should be a flow of life in our heart. This should be our normal experience. And then the Lord will give us many opportunities every week to flow out, whether that is in the gospel, whether that is to your roommate, to another sister or another brother, as you're just together having coffee, or in the church meeting, there will be many opportunities to flow out. This actually is the normal Christian life. This is a typical day in the life of a normal Christian. And then in the evening, that line, we consider that to be the line of vision. For the Christians, we don't just enjoy life without a purpose. We're not just here for our own personal enjoyment. And we're not even here just to bear fruit for the Lord. Actually, God has a purpose. And that purpose should govern our lives. So that's kind of the structure of our fellowship with you. Then, in the course of the day, there are different exercises, and those are really to build up our practical, personal experiences, both personally and also how to enjoy the Lord with others, how to coordinate with others, how to have vital companions so that we can have these exercises together. So I hope you see the kind of overall structure. We come this morning to this line of the experience of life. And before we touch this outline, I'd like to mention maybe these couple of introductory points. To experience life, the first thing we need to realize is that life is a person. Life is a person, not a thing, not a feeling. It's not a rush. It's not the goosebumps that you feel sometimes when the meeting is so exciting and your heart starts to flutter and some feeling and, oh yeah, I think I should stand up and say something. Sometimes you get that, but most often you don't. Life is a person. Life is a living person. The Lord Jesus said, I came that they may have life and may have it abundantly. The word says, in him was life. Then the Lord Jesus said, actually a few times, I am the life. I am the way. I'm the reality and the life. I am the resurrection and the life. And yes, later in the scriptures, it's revealed that the Lord became the Spirit. And that Spirit is called a life-giving Spirit. But don't think that he's the Spirit and then out of his pocket he takes something and he gives you life. No. What he's giving you is himself. Life is a person. Second, to experience this life or to experience this person, actually, the first thing, the prominent thing is love. We have to love him. Because he's a person. So, very often, the simplest way to touch this person is to say, Lord Jesus, I love you. Lord, I love you. It would be so nice, don't you think? If as soon as you wake up, if as soon as the alarm goes off, instead of saying, oh man, you would say, Lord Jesus, I love you. Oh man. That could be the second thing. Can't believe it. Maybe it's already? Or maybe some of us just go, ugh. But it's nice that before we would go, ugh, we would go, Lord Jesus, I love you. How about we all take the opportunity right now together? Lord Jesus, I love you. Life is a person, a living person. And this life, the Bible refers to it many times, even in the verses that we just read, as the eternal life. The eternal life. What is that? The eternal life. Well, we know, generally, that just means it never started and it never ends. It's eternal. But I wonder whether this has become more subjective to you than that. That's just the mental understanding, which actually, if you really think about it too much, your head might start to hurt. What is eternal? I remember one day I think in fourth grade, I was on a bus, school bus, not going to school, but on a class trip. And I remember sitting there, I don't know why that just remembered this. And I was on the bus and we're going to some museum or something. And I started thinking about God. God is eternal. I was 9. God's eternal. He never started. And I was thinking, how could that be? What is eternal? And my head started to hurt. I said, I couldn't fathom what is eternal. Well, you know, what I just described to you is not just eternal. What I described to you is everlasting. You know, with time, you know, eternal has different dimensions to it. One is time. With time, that means no beginning, no end. Okay. But eternal means more than that. Eternal is no limit in either time, space, or quality. So, but do we experience the eternal life? Or have you experienced this, since I know many of you, you became believers when you were quite young or when you were in high school. Maybe you went to a meeting and you enjoyed. And when you got home, what did you face there? Your mom. When you got there, mom said, you didn't throw the trash out. Like, that's the greeting. Like, you just came from a meeting. Amen. Ah, Christ has... And you're still, has come to be life. And then you walk in. And as soon as you come in, mom says, hey, Zach, you didn't throw the trash out. I told you. And you're like... Maybe you say, I'm not the only one in this house. Or maybe you're smart enough not to say it, but you think it. Or maybe you say, Well, I had to go to the meeting. You're the one that wants me to go to the meeting. Then you might say, fine. Next time, I won't go to the meeting. I'll throw the trash out. And it seems like your life is not eternal. It didn't even last until your bedroom. You get my point? Like our experience of life sometimes is confined to certain rooms where we have meetings. And as soon as we leave that meeting, what? The life, where is it? It seems like it's not that eternal. Neither space-wise nor time-wise. And it seems that our life also fizzles sometimes. Do they still sell Alka-Seltzer? Do you know Alka-Seltzer? This was big when I was younger. You know Alka-Seltzer? You know, there used to be a commercial. Remember that? Plop, plop. Fizz, fizz. Oh, what a relief it is. Sorry. Okay. Anyway, you drop the tablet into water and it dissolves. You know, there's a verse in Hebrews that says, we have an indissoluble life. Our life is indissoluble. That means you put it into any situation, it's like putting a piece of gold. It doesn't dissolve. But is that your experience? Or is your experience that when you get into the situation, you know, like the, is it the Wicked Witch of the West? Is that? I'm melting. We get into situations, and it seems like our experience of the eternal life is not that eternal. We're affected by the environment. But I'd like to let you know, you have an eternal life. You have an indissoluble life. You have a life that can withstand any and every situation that life throws at you, no matter what. What could be more difficult to face than death? I mean physical death. And I've seen some dear saints, especially some sisters, when they face death, oh my goodness, I never saw anything like that before. I remember some time ago, one sister, I knew that she was dying. I went to see her in the hospital. And when I walked there, I went to the room, and when I saw her, it was a little hard for me to even go all the way in. She saw me. She says, "Come on. I'm okay." And when you go to her presence, oh, she knew she was dying. But nothing dissolved her. Oh, that inspired me. There was another sister, the same. I saw her, I remember, on a Friday. By the Lord's Day evening, she was gone. But I remember being there, and I went there to try to, like, comfort her. She actually comforted me. Wow, that's indissoluble life. That's eternal life. And if she can experience that in that situation, don't you think you can experience it when somebody doesn't say hello to you in the right way? When somebody gives you a kind of an eye. And actually, they weren't giving you the eye. They just had something in their eye. And you just misunderstood. And you got offended. Paul, why does he look at me that way? He says hello to everybody, except me. Actually, just when he was walked by, he didn't see you. And we get in our mind. But it shows, we have an indissoluble life. But we have to learn how to experience that life. And that's really the burden of this morning series. How do we experience this life? And here, it gives you what it's called the cycle. A cycle of life. And there's a principle here. Let's read in the outline. Let's read Romans 1. Let's read the point. In 1 John 1, together, there is a cycle. Amen. And this is actually presented to us in 1 John chapter 1, not just the first three verses. Well, the first three verses that we read talks about the eternal life and the fellowship of life. But it doesn't mention the others. In verse 5, it says, God is light. God is light. And then it says, we need to walk in the light. And then in verse 9, it says that when we confess the blood of Jesus, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. So you have these four elements: eternal life, fellowship, which is the flow of that life, the divine light, and the blood. These four things. And this week, we'll develop, morning by morning, these matters. What I really want to fellowship with you has some to do with this matter. Well, it really is the four things: life, fellowship, light, blood. How about we say those four words together? Life, fellowship, light, blood. Really has more to do with this matter of the light and the blood. And this is really connected to the matter of our conscience. Our conscience. Life is a person. Who is this person? Well, this person is Jesus. But this Jesus became the Spirit. So actually, life is today the Spirit. When you have the Spirit, you have life. In Romans, he is even called the Spirit of life. Okay. How do we touch this Spirit of life? Well, you don't need me to teach you. You already know. It's with our spirit. Okay. That's easy to say. But how do you do that? What does that mean? Well, I don't want to take anything for granted. But in years past, as in my experience with young people, both college students and high school students, whenever we talk about the Spirit, well, we use this phrase, exercise the Spirit. Oh, and this was something. I don't know about you, but when I came to my first church meeting and I heard this phrase, exercise your Spirit, I said, what? What is exercise your Spirit? I mean, that was like... And then, actually, not just exercise. Your Spirit. Even that was a new phrase to me. Because I didn't know that I had a Spirit. I thought that God was Spirit. So how do you exercise the Spirit? What do you do to God to get him to exercise? I didn't understand. But then I found out, oh wait, in the Bible there are two spirits. Wow. See, I was a Christian for a while. I didn't know that. Maybe most of you grew up in the church life, so you learned this, in fourth grade or something. And the latest, seventh grade. Probably sixth grade. But some of us didn't know. Did you know? I found out here. It was pretty cool, though. I mean, it's like a crucial fact that every Christian should know, but I didn't know. I was trying my best to be a good Christian. But then I found out I have a human spirit. Amen. Okay. But for a couple of years, no one explained to me exactly how to exercise my spirit. So you know how I learned? Just like we learn many things, by observation and imitation. So I would watch the people, exercising their spirit. Somebody would say, "Saints, let's sing that again. But this time, let's really exercise our spirit." Okay, how many of you ever heard someone say that in the meeting? Okay. So, okay. So now we're going to see how to really exercise our spirit. So I was watching there. I was 14. I was watching, and you know what they did? You know what they did? They sang louder. So I thought, oh, so singing louder is exercising your spirit. Yeah. And then a couple of times, there'd be a brother stands up, and he'd be there, and he'd say, "Oh, praise the Lord, I really enjoyed today's sharing." And then one of the brothers, usually an older brother, and usually in the front row, he would say, "Brother!" What?
Exercise your spirit.
So, now I'm going to learn how to exercise my spirit. And do you know what he did? He spoke louder. And very often, he pumped his right arm. So before he was, Well, yeah, I enjoyed, praise the Lord, and then, brother, exercise. And he go, well, praise the Lord. I said, ah. So it's two things. So I was taking the notes, mental notes. And then it happened again. And then the brother exercise, and then sure enough. So now I got it. I got it. So when I exercise my spirit, I'm going to speak like this. How are you, Kellen? Very good. Mike, nice to meet you. The problem with this is, how do you exercise your spirit in your daily life? When I go to Chick-fil-A, I'd like a sandwich with a Coke. That's not so practical. What does it mean to exercise your spirit? So, actually, I learned this by reading a book called The Economy of God. Amen. How many of you have read this book? Have you? Very good. The Economy of God. You know, and there, it has this simple diagram, which I think most of us know. Sorry, I don't know if on the wings you can see this. Now, this I had seen. This I had seen before. But what I had not seen before, and I even saw this before, broken up, the soul. This is what? This is body, this is soul, and this is spirit. And these are the three parts. This is the mind, this is the emotion, and this is the will. But what I had not seen before was this diagram, where it breaks the spirit up into three parts, which are, let me use this color here, conscience, fellowship, and intuition. And then I learned that the way to exercise your spirit is by the three functions of your spirit. And the most important one is the conscience. And just knowing that, it just changed my experience. It actually opened a kind of a vista to a new realm of experience. Oh, that means to exercise your conscience is to exercise your spirit. That means when I say, hey brother, sorry about that, that's exercising your spirit. That means sorry, Mom. Sorry I didn't throw out the garbage when you told me. That means that's exercising your spirit. So that means you can exercise your spirit at home. That means when you're on your computer, on your laptop, on your tablet, on your phone, and you're going to a certain site, and you have a kind of a... do you know that? Is it a feeling? Is it a sense? Is it a... I don't know what it is, but you know that it means no. You know that inside the Lord is protesting. You know inside, he's saying, don't do that. That if you go along with that, if you say, oh Lord Jesus, amen, that's exercising your spirit. Maybe that's more of an exercise than doing this in the meeting. That means that if you're walking here and you see something, a piece of paper on the floor, and say, oh, I'm not on service today. I'm on when? I think 2 weeks. Yeah. And inside, then you go back. Do you know that this, just this, is exercising your spirit. Maybe more than this. And don't you have those kind of experiences every day? Don't you have those kind of experiences all day? Sometimes, in your heart, the Lord will say, don't think that. Have you ever experienced that? I'd like to see the Lord just inside. Nobody knows what you're thinking. You're thinking in a certain line, certain thing, based on something you saw. And inside, there'll be, stop. Stop. Don't think that way. Don't think that. Do you know that when you say, Lord Jesus, I come back to you. I let that go. That's exercising your spirit? Don't you think if you have the accumulation of experiences like that, and then you come to the meeting, it'll be much easier. Actually, you don't have to be that loud, and the spirit will flow out. So this is very important to know for our experience of life. I would like to read with you, if you have the Recovery Version, please turn to Ephesians chapter 3, verse 17. Ephesians 3, 17. You know, this is one of the most important verses in the whole Bible. Sometimes we call these verses, 16 and 17, the heart of the divine revelation. Okay, let's read this verse. That
Christ may make his home in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love.
Now, if you have the Recovery Version, there's a footnote to the word heart. Okay, it's actually note one. Let's read the first sentence. Our heart the main part of our spirit. And I'd like to impress you with this. Our conscience is the main part of our spirit. You know, before, if you would have asked me, according to these three parts or functions, what's the main part of your spirit? I would not have said conscience. I think I would have said fellowship. Because God wants us to fellowship with Him. Conscience is kind of negative. It's kind of, Or I would say intuition. Like definitely of the three, I'd rank conscious third. You can interchange fellowship and intuition. But here it says, conscience is the main part of our spirit. Let's look at 1 Timothy chapter 1. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 1. The very first verse. This first verse says, Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, according to the command of God our Savior and of Christ Jesus our hope. Now, this verse also has a note, note one. Actually, this verse has a long note. And in this note, in this long note, there are seven subpoints. You see that? The faith, the truth, healthy teaching, life, godliness, faith. Point seven is the conscience. Read what it says there. The conscience, the leading part of the spirit, which justifies or condemns our relationships with God and with man. You know, in the Recovery Version, there are at least seven footnotes that have one of these two phrases. The conscience is the main part of our spirit, or the conscience is the leading part of our spirit. Now, dear saints, if the experience of life hinges on the exercise of our spirit, then you have to realize you have to pay attention to your conscience. And no one who doesn't pay attention to their conscience really experiences life. I've seen experiences like this, where, just as I illustrated before, in the meeting, someone can seem like they're so living, so, you know what you might say, into it. They're so strong. Their speaking is so... But then, right after the meeting, they can go home and lie. They can go home and say something to their parents with such a nasty attitude. I saw situations like this, and it caused me to wonder, something's wrong here. Something's wrong. We're not really helping our people to experience life. And we passed through some experiences that reminded me about this. That's why I'm so burdened that we would not underappreciate our conscience. The conscience plays a key role in the cycle of life. So if you want the life, and you want the life to be flowing, that is, for fellowship, then you have to pay attention to what? Light. You know of the four? Life, fellowship, light. What light is that? That is God as light in our spirit, which really means our conscience. And then what? And then what? The blood. Then the blood cleanses. Because the Lord does not shine on you just for exposure. He shines on you to remove barriers. You know, you can always tell the difference. I know in my early Christian life, I couldn't tell the difference. When was God speaking to me and exposing me? And when was it actually Satan condemning me? Have you ever gotten tripped up by this? You don't know which one is it. Because you know you're wrong. We're generally wrong. But when is it Satan and when is it God? Well, I hope this principle will help you. When God comes as light, most often, He's very specific. Very specific. He would say, Bobby, why did you speak in that tone to your wife? That's how the Lord comes. Very specific. Say, Zach, why did you think that? Very specific. And you confess that. Lord, forgive me for seeing that. Lord, forgive me for speaking that way. Forgive me for doing that. When Satan comes, it's often based on something specific, like you just sinned. But he comes with, you're bad. You're just bad. Everybody knows you're bad. You're worthless. And you just feel down. The goal is to bring us down. But with the Lord, the goal is to remove the barrier of sin so that you could have fellowship. So I hope that this little principle would help you. But my main burden is this. Take heed to your spirit. There's a verse, this is Malachi chapter 2, verse 15. Take heed to your spirit. But more specifically, take heed to your conscience. Don't let it go so easily. And the Lord speaks to us in and through our conscience, actually, all day long. All day long. He would speak. And very often, He speaks through this one little word. No. No. You all don't ride subway trains that often. In New York, we're on the subway, on the train a lot. And there are advertisements. And very often I'm looking and no. Just no. And then you're walking down the street and no. Just no. You want to stop at this store? No. You know, that little no keeps you on the way of life. If you say, amen. If you say, amen. So, you know, we have sometimes, there's two ways. One is before and one is after. Before, it's amen. And that will preserve us on the way of life. But if we fall and sin, then what? We just confess. Then we get recovered to the way of life. And that, thank the Lord, that way is offered to us. Yes, that way is offered to us. So even if we fall, we can come back. You know, I love this verse in Proverbs. In Proverbs it says, the righteous man falls 7 times and stands up again. So the Lord always gives us a way. Never for condemnation. Always for recovery so that we can go on in the way of life. Amen. So that's the burden I wanted to release. I think we still have 10 minutes for your responding. If we have 30 seconds apiece, we can have 20 saints to share. How about before that, though, let us pray. Let's pray this way. How about instead of praying two by two, let's pray all together, but just pray one sentence. Just pray out one sentence. Let another complete your prayer and follow your prayer. And we pray a kind of corporate prayer to the Lord. Okay? Let's call the Lord's name, and then someone just take the lead to pray out. Amen. Lord Jesus. Amen.